Hey guys, glad you're joining us again, and this is our podcast that we're calling what?
Well, I call it the Story of God Pod, but I don't think that's the name. No one
I like that a lot.
I pitched
you have
it.
A better name?
No,
I pitched it to like the creative arts. They're like, not doing that. I'm like, come on, it's kind of dumb, fun, but here we are.
This week they're letting me drive. I get to ask the questions, and I prefer to drive with both of them. To be honest with you,
it's a control thing.
Hey, we're in this series called The Story of God. Been a fun. You guys enjoyed the series?
Oh, so good.
Yeah. What have you guys enjoyed about it? What is it that has stuck out to you?
Oh, okay. Tossing it off this way.
Dan gets mad that I ask the questions differently than I send them to him, and he does the same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same to him.
I think just what's been fun is seeing how we split up the different chunks of it. And so as you think about the whole story of the Bible, you could be in it, and we are, for years upon years upon years, right? Mm-hmm. But being able to kind of split it up in different chunks and being able to walk through it together and see just how the narrative of Scripture keeps moving and flowing, and you see how God's working. Because sometimes you get lost in Leviticus, and you're like, I'm not sure if he's working anymore, or I'm not sure what's going on. And so just kind of pushing it forward while taking it at a reasonable rate, I think, has been just kind of fun.
Yeah, that has been fun. Mm-hmm. There's something about knowing the overarching story. Because you can read the Bible like it's chicken soup for the soul, like this verse pops out here. And there's times when it's like, okay, that's the verse that took me through. But putting it in the story has been fascinating, right? Yeah. And I think we've gotten a lot of feedback. It's like, wow, man, that kind of pops. And so we're kind of slowing way down, right? We're in Mark because we said this whole thing's about Jesus. And so we looked at his arrival and his authority and the announcement of him coming. But we kind of you kind of led us in the beginning of the next chapter, so to speak, talking about the way and the words of Jesus. And what I was struck with this week in the sermon, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, you ought to. You did a great job. Jesus used a lot of agriculture, right? The original VeggieTales. I don't know that. Who knows, right?
How long have you been sitting on that joke?
Did you guys grow up on VeggieTales? That's like awesome.
Yeah,
I like that.
That was something.
I was shocked when I read the Bible and it wasn't a giant golden bunny. I'm like, man, they got this wrong.
Yeah, that's good. But if you have no idea what we're talking about, you're okay.
It's good.
But, yeah, it's all right.
It's probably better.
But we talked about the seed and the soil, and this week you said there's four different soils.
Yeah.
You guys remember what they were?
Yeah, the one seed falls on the path.
Yep.
The one seed falls on the rocky places. One seed then falls into like some thorns and gets choked out, and then one seed falls on good soil.
Yeah, so you led us in this discussion. You said it's the condition, the soil represents our heart, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you said it's the condition of our heart that determines the growth of the seed.
Yeah.
And then you also said that we've got to be careful not to try to manipulate or manufacture that growth, right? It's organic. So if I was just listening to that, maybe even new to the conversation, like, that's good, I think what I would want to know is, like, okay, then how do I cultivate my heart, if that's the soil, so that it's good seed and will grow the harvest that the story tells? And then how do I know the difference? Like, when I'm cultivating the soil of my heart and trying to manufacture the growth of the seed or manipulate it, I wonder how you guys would talk to somebody that maybe had that question.
It's a really good question.
Yeah, I like asking the questions a lot.
Maybe just a few thoughts. I think when I'm focused way more on the results, I'm probably focused more on my growth than I am focused on what's going on internally in my heart. And so I think of the Psalms where it's just been a practice of mine to just read through the Psalms one a day for the past several years now, and just letting it like dig up what's going on in my heart, the emotions of it. Some days you're like, man, I totally resonate with this. Other days they're like, oh man, I just feel angry. What's going on there, Lord? I feel joy. Why do I feel joy? Is it because my circumstances are all going all right and things are just going good? Or is it actually found in something deeper? And so I think there's, for me, cultivating that soil is, spending time in the Psalms to just kind of figure out kind of what's going on in my own heart. It says, search me, O Lord, test my heart, check what's going on in there. So I try to ask myself questions around that, like as to what's happening, why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, why I'm excited about the things I'm actually excited about. Is that just because it looks like growth on the outside and so everybody else is impressed, or is it actually because God's doing a work on the inside of me. And so, yeah, that's a couple thoughts on tilling the soil of your heart.
Anything you would add to that? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I think of every year I have good intentions to start a garden. Like we do. There's a lot of plants in the house and flowers, but I'm like, I want to start a garden.
Yeah.
But you're always too late. It's always like the middle of June. And I tried to, you can grow carrots and radishes later. Well, you write that down.
Wow.
You're welcome. You didn't write
Farmer
it.
Aiden. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, not yet. That's not the story. So I was going to try to grow these later in the year. And so I made this little box. I bought this box and planted the seeds, you know? And so there is that very real sense of like, you're pulling weeds out. You're trying to make it so it's not too hard and watered down. You're trying to be aware of the conditions, and you can't make the thing speed up anymore. And I think of that cultivating the soil in that parable. You think the hard soil, it needs churned up. It needs turned. It's easy to get a hard heart, to be cynical, to be, oh, I know what God's, I know what he would say, or I know how he's going to act, or I know how this goes. Oh, you got to wait. And that soil gets hard. And so with hard soil, I need to break it up. My heart's hard. Think of like the shallow soil where it's easy to get excited about just whatever every day, and that just shoot up. Just think about what are the things that in my heart that I'm committed to long term, and not just, oh, look, there's a flower already. Well, there's dandelion in a day. You know what I mean? That shoots up quick. And I think a big one for our hearts and our, for that third, that crowded out soil, the, what does it say? Deceitfulness of wealth, trials. And then it says the desire for many things. So I think of just almost the weeding, like when you have your flower beds, most of what you're doing is weeding.
Yeah.
You're just pulling out weeds after weeds. We get those weeds that you pull and it shoots out everywhere and it just multiplies. And you think of that just from our phones to technology to, we have to have an opinion on things. There's so many things that can crowd it out. So I think of tilling the soil in those different seasons. For many of us, it's probably that crowded out one. I think it's getting rid of things as much as breaking up the soil in my heart.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good. You know, if you weren't here Sunday, like you guys were here Sunday for three of our services, when I think about that question, I love what you guys are saying. I think about that song that we sang right before the sermon. The song was called Abide.
Yeah.
And I really think both of you kind of alluded to this. Like when I think about this is what I'm going to grow in my life, I get kind of off track. When I think about abiding with Jesus, he says in John 15, right? Yeah. You can't do anything apart from me. And he grows then what he desires to grow. And sometimes it might look different. James said it this way, humbly accept the word planted in you. Yeah. So when I encounter that abide, you know, whether Psalms or whatever it is, you know, what's he want to grow in me? Well, sometimes he wants to dig some things out of me, you know. Sometimes he wants to put some things in me. And I think when I start getting control of this is the garden I'm going to grow.
Yeah.
I start to try to manufacture and manipulate, and then I start doing instead of abiding you know, letting him do his work.
And that can slip into like healthy Christian living or like self-improvement, where it's like, if I here's what I'm going to grow and here's how I'm going to grow it.
Yeah.
You know, versus trusting the Spirit to grow what he wants to grow in my relationships, in my life.
Kind of like a self-help Christianity.
Yeah.
That's very easy to fall into.
Yeah.
Now, some people, they think pastors don't ever struggle. But when you guys think about those three different soils, not the good soil, I wonder if you're willing to share, and I'll be happy to share, like, which one have you struggled the most with in your life when you've kind of looked back over?
Yeah, that? I'll share.
Yeah.
I think studying it, kind of getting in this past week for me, I was shocked to see myself in all three. Like, I think every time I've heard it talked, it's like, which one are you? And I'm like, as I was looking at it, I'm like, yeah, there's things that just stay on the surface that never sink in for me, that it's just easy to think about the sovereignty of God. And I'm like, he's got everything under control, but my life seems out of control right now, and that's not sinking in. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, the shallowness of I can get really excited about certain things and see how God's working and then forget to have roots on the things that really matter or whatever the case. But I think the one that I probably resonate with the most often with is that choked out one. That just over the course of time, life continues to go on. I continue to grow. I don't see it. I'm not really sure. But the worries, the way Jesus describes those three things, and I love how broad he keeps them, I just found myself, I asked Kimmy, I'm like, did you notice I was just preaching to me this week? Like, especially at those parts. Man, I'm like, that was it. The worries of this life, that the longer that life goes on, it seems like that's easy for it to just come into my heart. That I get anxious about tons of things. I get anxious about the future and thinking about what's happening there. I get anxious about my present reality and how am I doing at raising my kids and how am I doing in being a pastor and how am I doing with my friendships, relationships, and then even the deceitfulness of wealth. I was shocked when I started thinking on that, and when Jesus just started working his way in me. I use this example, but when I was 19, I literally did not care about money.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, whatever you need to do to get me to where I need to go, kind of thing. And now I'm like, I think about it more than I care to admit, and I get worried about it, or I get concerned about it, or I'm like, man, I wonder if we can make a buck here or whatever. And you're like, man, Jesus, this has more of my heart than he says elsewhere. Sermon on the Mount, where he's where your treasure is, your treasure is. So, yeah, that's. I'm just a mess, apparently. I struggle with all of them. Yeah,
those responsibilities grow, you know, when it's just you, you're like, whatever. But you're like, I got people to look out for. I got to think about the future. And those responsibilities grow.
One of them stick out to you, for you?
Yeah, I think all of them. It's true. I think we joke about it. I know I'm pretty happy-go-lucky, but he teases me. It can be easy for my heart to grow hard. You know, that soil, like, I can battle cynicism a lot in my own self and things like that. Like, especially with the pace of God sometimes. Like, well, is he actually gonna? Maybe I'll just, he's probably not gonna, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that tilling that soil so your heart doesn't grow hard. And then just the things choking it out. And they're not always bad things. You know, those, it's not always like, well, you did a good job. It's like the thing that's choking out. What'd you say? Stealing pandas from the black market?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, it's not always like these super bad things, but it's, just I got to get this done. I'm a very checklist person, so my brain can always be thinking about what's the next thing I have to get done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, it can so easily crowd out. There's always something on my brain, always something. I'll go home and just tell Sarah that. I'll say, there's just a lot of stuff. There's a bill that needs paid. There's a call you got to make. There's a there's family. There's church. There's a kid. Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff, and it's easy to be like, oh, yeah. And I want to abide in Jesus. You know, it can feel like another box. Easy to choke out, What about you?
No, well, I'm going to pray for you guys. apparently you're a mess.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I got some good news and bad news for you, right? I mean, I honestly think, so, you know, I'm older than you guys, that it's this paying attention to the soil of your heart is necessary all your life, because I think I would agree. All three have shown up in my life. I think it's easy as you get older and you see things happen to get calloused and critical and cynical. And before you know it, your heart's hard and jaded. And it happens to pastors. You know, it happens. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're just this critical, calloused kind of person that sees the wrong in others. You're jaded, whatever. I think the shallow heart, it's easy to get jealous of people who you see this fire and this quick and results, and you're like, well, man, I want that, and I think I'll shortcut the rooted part. You know what I mean? The part where the roots are built. And then when I read the choked out one, it's like there certainly the deceitfulness of riches and wealth and all of that, but there's a deceitfulness of busyness and activity that can steal from the fruitfulness that can come with a decluttered heart. And you can almost get the tyranny of the urgent and miss the most important. So, I would, you know, all kidding aside, I would jump in the boat with both of you and say, I think you have to constantly, I mean, Farmer Aiden knows this, pay attention to the soil, right? And to the nutrients in the soil, to the eliminating the things that are going to choke it out. I'm curious of this. Like, if I'm watching this and listening to this, like, I'm thinking, that sounds great. Just wait on God to do his work, right? So seed gets planted. I read. I sit. I, you know, sit by the stream, listen to some good worship music. How do I know the difference between that and just being lazy? Like, I'm just complacent. Like, what's the difference? Because, you know, I'm in 49 Bible studies. I sit by the ocean, read my Bible, listen to the music. God's going to grow his thing versus there's something in me that's my responsibility to act. Like, how do I know the difference? Where would you guys go with that?
I think it can sound like to some people, especially if people are like, there's a lot going on in the world, or if it's more of aggressive personality type, you know, whatever. It could be like, this can sound too passive. This can sound too like, the world's on fire and we're just going to grow a garden, you know, kind of thing. And I think they're, growing up, my best friend growing up, his dad is a farmer. And I don't know if I've ever met someone who was more active. And I mean, he's probably in his mid-70s, and I think he's still out there. You know, he wasn't just like, you don't just plant the seed and be like, we'll see. I think it's more of a recognition of what I'm planting. I think sometimes the tension comes when, well, that feels passive because we have a different seed we planted. Of my agenda or my vision for how Jesus should be doing things. And the seed is what Jesus is planting. It's the good word of what he wants to do in us and through us. And it's his kingdom. And so the seed, I think sometimes we get passive, like active and passive confused with the seed, because there, Jesus tells many parables about watching, about being ready, about an urge, not a, like a hurried, like franticness, but an urgency of like, we don't know when he's going to come back. You know, those kind of wedding parables of being all those things being ready. That's not passive at all. My friend's dad was always working. He was always tending to that seed. He was always, if you grow a garden, like you're always pulling weeds. You're always turning up soil. You're always trying to put up a fence to keep a deer out. You're always trying to prune. You're always trying to prune things. So there's a lot to be done. I think we get passiveness confused with like, activism feels like a general term, but our own agenda of what we feel like needs done today because there's things at stake. It's actually not trust. We're not trusting the kingdom. And you see that in New Testament. The James and John are like, why don't we burn some stuff down? And he's like, why don't you hold on? And Jesus wasn't sitting around, you know? So I think of that. I think of how we define what is the seed and what am I actually trying to pork barrel into what Jesus wants to do? And what is my own anxiety, my own fear, my own opinion that I want to water and cultivate and missing the kingdom growing.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really anything you add to that.
That's dynamite. Yeah. I think there's a picture for the long haul that you're like, man, I was thinking about this. Like, how much do I long to see the fruit of God? Like, I know I won't be passive if I'm longing to see the fruit of God. Yeah. I'm like, I want to see that so bad. I think we assume that passivity is, or like planting seeds is passive, but you're like, he never tells us to just plant one and be done. Like, it's not one and done. It's like continually plant and continually break up. It's continually pull out weeds. And I think Jesus talks about like wolves coming in, and you're like, okay, I want to make sure I keep the garden protected from enemies that want to sneak in there and try and destroy what God's trying to do. And so I think it just has this longevity that you're like, man, I just so desperately want to see the fruit. And I could get paranoid and go, it's not working, dig it up, overwater, all the things. When it's like, all right, Lord, what's the next right thing that I need to do? And I think that's fascinating to think, like, yeah, I worked on the orchard, and I think of Ryan, who's a good buddy of mine who used to work on a farm, and I'm like, that dude would get up so early and spend all day. And it wasn't any, it was anything but passive.
Anything but passive. Yeah. I heard it said one time, so the kingdom or the way, that's what we're talking about, the way of the kingdom is different than we think.
Yeah.
I got to think the disciples, when Jesus was walking, had to think many times, we're losing. Like, this is not going well, we're losing, right? And you talked about the long haul, and there's a sense to which I'm sure it appeared that way.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, 2026, we're talking about the kingdom. And the Roman Empire's gone, by the way. You know, I don't know if you guys realize that.
Oh, that's right, it is.
It's interesting, isn't it? But I'm sure they thought, what is going on, right? Yeah. There's a sense to which, I heard it put this way, that the kingdom of God and the message Jesus came, it comes like a seed, not like a bulldozer.
Yeah.
And we tend to want to get in a bulldozer. Like, we need to get this thing arranged and change the landscape. And the seed is something that subversively begins to grow. And here we are, 2026, talking about kingdom of God. So that being said, I'm curious, because parables have their limits, right? Like mm-hmm. Jesus is just laying alongside a story, alongside a. But the truth is, we got to be worried about our soil, and you guys have both alluded to this, and in a real sense, we are also called to scatter good seed. Yeah. That's our job, to scatter seed. Both. So I didn't prep them for this, but both you guys got young kids, right? Mm-hmm. You got two boys.
Yep.
Very active, by the way.
Very.
You got two very active boys and a beautiful young daughter, right?
She's also very active.
She's also very active. But, like, how does this whole thing with the fact that the kingdom of God works like the seed and so you get a chance to be farmers in their life, how does this play out for you guys as dads? Mm-hmm. And what are the implications when you look at trying to raise your kids? Mm-hmm. You're welcome on the curveball. But I bet you there's some dads and moms watching this like, right now I'm not sure why I got into this, or, you know, I'm not sure what to do. Or my kid is six, and the teacher keeps sending pink slips home, and I think they're terrorizing, you know, they're going to grow up and be a terrorist or whatever. And, you know what I mean? You can start to freak out. Yeah. Like, what about how does this all play into that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that with the difference between active and passive, like you talk to any mom, you're like, yeah, we're planting seeds in kids. It ain't passive. You know, it's pretty active. I think that you mentioned it Sunday. We got to sit in on Pastor Jonathan's dad, an old saint who's with the Lord now. And, you know, you mentioned his grandkids up there. And you, as young guys, the dads, like, even your kids are grown. Jonathan's kids are grown. My kids are, you know.
We're in it.
We're in it. Like, we're like, yeah. And there is this, like, I hope that that's where we get, but it's sowing seed. It's those conversations. It's and it feels like we'll have a conversation. You know, it's one day you're like moving this way, and the next day you're like, what are we doing here, buddy? Like, now, whether it's behavior, whether it's what he thinks, whether it's whatever, it's, you feel like it's two steps back. But I think of that, it's not how is he by the end of the week, how is he by the end of the month, but I want to cultivate their hearts for their whole life. And so, I guess it's more watching, you know, watching like farmers who've been farming longer, mm-hmm. you know, and trusting that the seed God has given us these kids at this time. I'm not going to sit and worry about the world and what's the future going to be like and this and that. That's not what I'm called to do. So I think of that a little bit. Mm. We're figuring it out. You know, we're still in the seed's still, you know, just sprouting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my kids are 3 and 2 and right now. And so, a lot of it is future thinking for me. Some is right now. I think the right now for me is it's easy to focus on what they're doing wrong and or the misbehavior or the activeness of boys. And you're like, all right, we got to get this figured out, that changed. Like, why are we doing this? And I probably heard you say it and others say that it can be often more of my own embarrassment or insecurity of how I'm doing as a father that can be projected on them. And I don't want to garden like that. You know, I don't want to farm like that because I don't think that's going to produce good fruit. And so, I think just taking off the pressure and going, God, you're going to have to handle the growth of these guys because they got a long way to go. But if I can just keep making good deposits into their hearts, if I can look them in the eye, tell them that I love them, create an environment that they know and feel loved and safe, I remember asking a guy last week, a little bit older than us, I'm like, what's the best thing you did as a dad? Cause he had two boys and he's like, I loved my wife. Well, that was the best thing I did. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, just the security of that. So like, I think sometimes it's easy to focus just on the kids. And my dad would say the same thing. Like my dad is like, I just made sure to love your mom through everything, and I wanted you guys to know that. So that just provides a place of security, I think, for kids to be able to grow. And then, just figuring out little moments to deposit good seed in them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, hang in there. Don't quit, right? And and you're in this for the long haul. And I think part of, as a dad's, you know, one of the greatest things you can do is we think about sowing good seed, which is important. But to make sure that you're a dad who has good soil and that they get to see a good garden being grown in you and like, wow, okay. And sometimes that's how you interact with your wife. That's your relationship with Jesus. And then when you get a chance to sow good seed, And if all of a sudden you don't see things growing right away, just hang on. Just keep sowing good seed. Just keep sowing good seed. And for some of those kids, it sprouts at 12. For some, it sprouts at 32. For some, it sprouts at 25. They hit us. But you keep sowing good seed. And you got good kids. They're fun. But just hang in there. This is a fascinating conversation. I would just say to you guys out there, I love sitting and talking to these guys. But here's the deal. We preach these sermons. Find somebody to talk to about this. Like, even if you're like, I don't know, we don't know all the answers, there's value in kind of smashing around the conversation. And we'd encourage you to get in a group, too, if you're not in a group. But these are valuable for our growth, and we're glad that you joined us.